1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13 will be the text this morning as we continue our series in 1 Thessalonians. All right, look at verses 12 and 13 in your Bible as I read from mine. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your blessed word that guides us in how we are to live, that instructs your church in how we are to conduct ourselves as a body of believers. And I pray, Lord, that you would use me this morning as I share this message. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with each listener. Help us to apply the scripture to our text, our text of scripture appropriately to our personal lives and to the life of our church. And I pray, Lord, that when the invitation is given, if you would have us to make it a decision, a commitment, Lord, help us to step forward and make those commitments this morning. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, back in chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul began a new section of this letter in which he encouraged brotherly love to continue and to even grow. And then he began to really outline how we are to love one another. He gives a prophecy section beginning in verse 13, but even there he instructs us how to love one another. He said in verse 18 that we are to comfort one another with these words. In chapter 5, verse 11, he said that we are to comfort and build up each other in the Lord. And now in verses 12 to 15, he continues to instruct us as to how we are to love one another. Now this morning, we're going to see how love should be extended to the leadership of the church. You know, the church is a family. And like any family, a family needs leaders. And God has ordained that the husband be the head of the home and the wife be by his side with respect and cooperation and support. And the children are to obey their parents who love them and are seeking to lead them in the right way. Well, even so, the Thessalonian church, as they formed a body of believers, Paul saw to it, I'm sure, that they had leaders in place. And here he's addressing the congregation and encouraging them to show love to their leaders. Perhaps there was some problem between the leaders and the congregation within the Thessalonian church, or perhaps Paul was simply trying to be preemptive and trying to prevent problems from developing. But either way, what he has here in this text of Scripture is very, very important. Now, our church was established in 1978 after an unfortunate incident. A church in our community, by a very narrow vote, basically fired their pastor. And about half the church left, half the attenders left, and started Swift Creek Baptist Church with the pastor who had just been fired. That church immediately lost about half of its attenders, and that church has never fully recovered from what happened back in 1978. I wonder if at that time the church had really given heed to verses 12 and 13 of our text. I wonder if that whole incident would have been avoided. I believe so. And I believe it's very important that I share this passage of Scripture with you. And I pray that this message will find its way to many other believers in congregations all over our nation as well as our community, because it is very much needed. I read just recently that 40% of pastors have considered leaving their congregation within the last 3 months. In 1996, the average pastoral career lasted only 14 years. A significant number of people who enter the ministry are out of the ministry within 5 years. In 1996, 23% of all active pastors in the U.S. have been fired or forced to resign in the past. Folks, there are problems in pastor-congregation relationships all over the land. And these problems in pastor-congregation relationships create problems for the church and the health of the church. And so I believe that this passage of Scripture is very much needed. Now, I have to say that this church has done well. I mean, you don't keep a pastor for 27, 28 years if you're too hard on the pastor, if you're not supportive of the pastor, if you don't basically fulfill what Paul is talking about here in verses 12 and 13. But nevertheless, I believe we should never allow ourselves to take pastors for granted, take leaders in the church for granted, lest we find ourselves failing to do what Paul says here. Now this morning I want to share with you two main points, and the first is this: we have a description of dedicated church leaders. Look at verse 12. We're going to see the kind of leaders within the church that are to receive the kind of love and support that Paul outlines here in this text of Scripture. And notice what he says in verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Now, based on the Greek grammar, I am quite confident that Paul is not describing three different kinds of people, three different kinds of leaders here in verse 12, but rather he's talking about the same kind of leader described in three different ways. And I want you to see this description of the kind of leaders that definitely should be loved and supported because of their work and because of their leadership within the church. First of all, notice he says in verse 12 that they labor in the Lord's work. He describes them as those who labor among you. And the word translated labor is normally a word that refers to manual labor to the point of exhaustion. Oh yes, it was very common for slaves and other workers in the ancient world to work long hours and to work literally to the point of exhaustion, where they were ready to, as soon as they got home, to hit the sack. I'm sure many of us have been in that kind of work environment where we've worked really hard. And Paul describes those who labor among you. And yet, the common joke is, even in my barbershop, is that the pastor only works an hour a week. You know, if he has two services, he might work 2 hours a week. If he has Wednesday night service, he may work 3 hours a week. But you know, the pastor really has an easy job. Right, Brother Wayne? He's become a pastor. An easy job. But you know, it's not so easy, and everybody needs to understand that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Much study is a weariness of the flesh." Listen, study is hard work. And in order to prepare a message, you've got to study. And five to 10 hours at least to prepare a message, even to prepare a Sunday school lesson. And I desire every week to spend even more time than that in the 2 to 3 messages I preach every week. In addition to that, the pastors visit the sick. They visit the bereaved. They make other visits, evangelistic and prospect visits. Visiting the sick all over the Richmond area and in hospitals. Pastor is on call 24/7, 24 hours a day. Amy Brink reminded me of the time when I was called around 1 or 2 in the morning because she was going to the hospital and they didn't know who else to call to come and stay with the kids. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And I knocked on the door and went in the house, and off they went to the hospital, or maybe they left right before I got there. I don't remember. But one thing I do remember is Colin Brink coming down the stairs and seeing me and, who is this in my house? You know, but listen, pastors do all kinds of things in serving the Lord. And on top of all that, the administration. Folks, listen, the administration of an organization, even this size, is very demanding indeed. And so Paul says, listen, those who are like pastors and other leaders in the church, indeed, oftentimes they labor and labor and labor. You need to be aware of that. Listen, if someone is thinking about entering the ministry, you better be prepared for a lot of hard work, a lot of labor, because the ministry involves labor, Paul says. And Christians, leaders are to be chosen not based on their status in life, not based on their wealth, not based on their looks or talent or education, but based partly on whether or not they're workers. Because it takes work to be a leader in the church. But not only do they labor in the Lord's work, but they also lead in the Lord's way. Notice in verse 12, and are over you in the Lord. The word translated over you literally means to stand before. Most leaders stand before a group of people and direct and lead. And so Paul describes those in the church who are leaders within the church. Yes, there are pastor leaders, but there are also lay leaders within the church. And we thank God for them. And Paul says, I want you to note these individuals within the church who lead, who direct. The word can even have the nuance of to care for as a shepherd, not only leads the flock, but also cares for the flock. But notice what he says in verse 12, that we are to lead in the Lord. That Christian leadership must always be in the Lord. Folks, that means two things. One is that Christian leaders are to be chosen ultimately by God first and foremost. Called of God, equipped of God, and enabled of God. Pastors in particular are to be God-called pastors. Not mama-called or self-called, but God-called. They lead in the Lord. But to lead in the Lord also means that we lead in accordance with the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says that Jesus is the chief shepherd and pastors are under-shepherds. That a pastor is never to lead a congregation contrary to Jesus, contrary to the Word of God, but always in accordance with the Word of God. And so he says, I want you to note those who lead in the Lord, as he says there in verse 12. And I call upon all of our leaders to always lead in the Lord. But there's a third characteristic of the kind of leader that is especially to receive love and support within the congregation, and that is this, those who admonish you with the Lord's word. He says in the last of verse 12, and admonish you. The word translated admonish literally means to place on the mind. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm taking the word of God, and I'm seeking to place it on your mind that you might think about it. But the word has more to do with application rather than just instruction and teaching. It is to take what the Bible says and to apply it to our lives, to admonish people to do the Word, to live according to the Word, and to warn people of the consequences of not following the Word. In fact, in verse 14, the same word is translated warn in verse 14. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." My goal as a pastor teacher is to present you complete and perfect in Christ Jesus as I teach and admonish with the Word of God. Yes, the kind of leaders that he's talking about are those who admonish, who warn, sometimes even rebuke as necessary. Jesus said, "Whom I love, I rebuke," in Revelation 3 in verse 19. And this threefold description that I've just shared with you, again, is not just applicable to pastors. And by the way, Andrew's a new pastor at our church, and we are calling upon you this morning to be very careful to follow verses 12 and 13 in your relationship with him in the life of this church. But not only pastors, but also Sunday school teachers and other Bible teachers who stand before a group of people and who lead and admonish and work hard within the congregation. So I hope you understand who we're talking about this morning. That is to receive the ministry that is described in verses 12 and 13. But secondly, I want you to see not only a description of dedicated church leaders, but also the duties of God's people toward such leaders. Now, I realize, of course, as I prepare this message, that this message may seem a bit self-serving on my part to preach this message. But keep in mind, of course, I'm just preaching through a book of the Bible, and I'm not going to skip over this passage of Scripture, which is really so important in a congregation's life and health. But there are other reasons why I preach this passage beyond encouraging you, as Andrew begins his ministry with us, to be careful to follow this Scripture. But there are other reasons. First of all, this does apply to other leaders within the church, as I've already noted. Secondly, good leaders are a blessing to the congregation, and it is in your interest as a Christian and as a congregation to fulfill what Paul is saying here. And I will show you why at the end of the message. And so, what are your duties to the kind of leaders described in verse 12? There are three duties that I think I see here. First of all, the duty is to recognize those who really work hard and fulfill the description here. He says in verse 12, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you." The word translated recognize means to know. Here to take note of, to regard, to recognize. Make a mental note of people in the church that are described by verse 12. Give some thought to them, he is saying here in this text of Scripture. And notice we are especially to recognize and to be mindful of those who labor hard, who are leaders, who admonish you with the Word of God. We're especially to take note in our mind of those leaders within the church, the Apostle Paul says. Now, it's not stated here, but elsewhere. One reason why we are to look at, consider these leaders and teachers within the church is that we might imitate their life and carry out their teaching. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate the Lord." And so, yes, you're to pay special attention to those whom God has raised up as leaders within this church. You're to observe their life, and hopefully each of us are living an exemplary life at all times because people are watching us. But verse 13 tells us perhaps the main reason why we are to take note and regard the kind of leaders that are described here in verse 12. And that is the second duty, to esteem them very highly in love. Again, this is a context of having brotherly love for one another, and brotherly love should certainly extend to leaders within the church. And notice what we are called upon to do in verse 13. Let me unpack verse 13 for you. He says, first of all, we are to esteem them. To esteem them. That means to consider or calculate their value, I believe, here in this context. To consider and calculate their value. And I give a special attention to the last of verse 12 when Paul says, these individuals admonish you with the Word of God. They admonish you with the Word of God. Listen, think of the value of pastors and teachers who take the Word of God and instruct you and admonish you with the Word of God, because it is by the Word of God that we're saved. It is by the Word of God that we grow in our Christian lives. It is by the Word of God that we're comforted in times of sorrow. It is by the Word of God that we have hope. Oh, listen, these individuals are so valued to the congregation. And Paul says, I want you to esteem them. I want you to regard their value. Not only as teachers and preachers of the Word of God, but also as leaders. Listen, where would we be without leaders? You've got to have leaders. And yet, have you been in a committee meeting when it's time to elect a leader and nobody wants to be the leader? No, why don't you do it? No, why don't you do it? No, you know, sometimes we get a report back. I'm sorry, we can't elect. Nobody's willing to be chair. Nominating committee, you're going to have to find a chair for this committee. Why is it that so many people don't want to be the leader? It's because of all the responsibility. Oftentimes, the committee chair ends up carrying the most of the work. And when something doesn't go right, of course, it's the chair is the one that's going to be the target of criticism. Many people have been there, done that, and don't want to do it again when they've served as leaders. But if you have somebody that's willing to bear the cross of leadership, Paul says, I want you to esteem them. I want you to regard their value, as he says here. But notice, not only to esteem them, but to do so in love. He says, I want you to show love for them. Love them. It's very important that we love one another and that we love those who are stepping forward as leaders of the congregation. We are to love them. But as he encourages us to esteem them, as he encourages us to love them, but notice how much we are to esteem them and love them in verse 13. He says, very highly. I wish you could see the compound Greek word that's about that long that this is translated from. Normally, it's the word, except for the preposition at the beginning, it's the normal word to describe abundantly, like a river overflowing its banks. We've all seen it during heavy rain seasons. So much water, it overflows the banks. But Paul here adds the preposition huper, to make it a a compound word even more to strengthen even more the meaning of the word. We get our word super from huper in Greek. So he says, I want you to esteem them super highly in love. Amen. Is what he says here. In fact, the same word is found in Ephesians 3:20, where the Apostle Paul says, Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Same word. Exceedingly abundantly above. To esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Boy, that raises the bar, doesn't it? But yet, Paul says, I want you to think about their position, think about their value, and I want you to esteem them very highly in love. You know, I believe that this admonition is needed more now than ever before. In the history of the church. And let me tell you one reason why. And I wish this message could go out to congregations all across America. You know, we have something that is new in the church. People can go hear their pastor, and then they can go home and turn on the television, and they can hear David Jeremiah. They can hear John Hagee. They can hear Andy Stanley. They can hear any number of great preachers, and the internet has just proliferated your choice of preachers that you can listen to. And you know what the temptation is? Why can't my pastor preach like that? And we tend to devalue our pastor. Because, boy, I mean, David Jeremiah, in my books, is one of the best, you know. Will I ever preach like David Jeremiah? I don't think so, you know. Maybe if I worked 20 hours a week preparing a sermon, maybe I could come close. But, you know, and then I think of all these little churches all over America. And listen, most of the churches in America have attendances of less than 100 people. And they're pastored by men who just aren't in the caliber of the people that you may listen to on television, radio, and on the internet. Or someone may get up and sing a song and they sing from their heart and they do a good job, but hey, it's not anything like the recording artists that you listen to on the radio and so forth. And do you devalue their congregation, that they're singing because it doesn't measure up to your favorite artists that are so readily available to you today? But let me tell you this. But when you're in the hospital, David Jeremiah is not coming to see you. When your loved one dies, Andy Stanley's not coming to see you. It's that local pastor that's going to come to see you and pray for you. Especially if you ask him, especially if you make sure he knows that you need him. And so he says, brethren, to esteem them very highly in love. And I want to share with you, and this wasn't in my original message, but as I thought about this, you know, how are we to esteem them very highly in love? And I have a few thoughts to share with you. I want to share with you five or six ways. Number one, pray for them. Verse 25, Paul says, brethren, pray for us. And you know, I want you to not only pray for me and these other leaders from time to time, but from time to time, let us know you're praying for us. You know, just let's let us know. Maybe even stop by the office sometime and say, Pastor, I want to pray with you today. Wonder how long it's been since that's happened. Protect your pastor's reputation.
Amen.
1 Timothy 5:19. You know what that says? Do not receive an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses. Don't even hear it. Don't even listen to it. As soon as somebody comes to you with an accusation, you say, you got another witness with you? You got some witnesses? For if not, I'm not even going to listen to it. Not even going to listen to it. Why? Because the reputation of a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, other leader within the church, you know what happens when their reputation is damaged? People stop listening to them. They stop listening. And it hurts their ministry. Be supportive with your faithful attendance. I can't help it, folks. I'm human. And when the attendance is not what it ought to be, it affects me. It does. You know. But you know what you can do? You can go to SwiftCreekBaptistChurch.com and you can hear my Sunday morning message right from the comfort of your home every Monday afternoon. It's up by Monday afternoon. You can. But you know what? I won't see you if that's what you do. You won't encourage me if that's what you do. I mean, if you do it, at least send me a note saying, Pastor, I heard you today. That was a real good message. You know. If you have Comcast, you can watch the message on television from the comfort of your home. But one way you can show love for your pastor is, unless you're sick, please stay at home if you're contagious. But unless you're sick, Come here in person to hear the word of God. You know, it's like the woman said one time, I just want to show whose side I'm on. You know, I know it's cold out there, and I know it may be windy, but you know, unless you got a health problem, just come on anyway. Come on anyway. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. You did come today. Work with and for them. Work with and for them. Now, this is especially like committee chair and other leaders within the church, because you know what happens in many times in leadership is that, you know, something needs to get done and where's the rest of the committee? Where's the rest of the organization? Andrew's got a youth committee, and I want the youth committee to support him and to help him. Be there for him. Or whatever committee he's a part of and whatever ministry he's a part of, we need to work with and for them. And then we need to encourage them from time to time. You know, I'm thankful that God has blessed my ministry over the years. And for the most part, I haven't needed encouragement. I'm pretty much an upbeat guy, rarely get depressed, rarely get down. But there have been times when I've been down in the valley. And, you know, I don't feel so bad, because you read Corinthians and you'll find where Paul himself was really down at times in his ministry. The same Apostle Paul who said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And by the way, when I'm down, I probably don't need you to remind me of that verse. You know, I probably need a different kind of ministry, a different kind of encouragement at that particular time. But, you know, sometimes we just need to encourage one another. And maybe remind that teacher or remind that pastor of a time in your life when they were such a blessing to you. Maybe send an email. Maybe send a note. Maybe a phone call. There are a lot of different ways we can encourage someone who labors in the Lord, as he describes here. And so these are some of the ways that we are to esteem them very highly in love. I could mention other ways, you know, loving the pastor's family, supporting them financially, and y'all have done very well in that regard. But notice the third duty, to live at peace with them. You see that last of verse 13? Be at peace among yourselves. Now this immediately follows Paul describing to the congregation that they should esteem and love such leaders. And then he says, be at peace among yourselves. Now why does he say this? Because it is common for there to be conflict between leaders and those they lead. Just think of the political realms of life. How many of our politicians in Washington are loved and appreciated? You know what? A lot of them are despised. A lot of them are almost hated. A lot of them are held up for ridicule. Every time they make one mistake, man, they're blasted. And what's true in the secular world can spill over into the church. And so Paul says, be at peace with them. Obviously, there will be times when a leader feels like, a pastor feels like, we need to go in a direction, and you don't like the direction that we're going in. And that's fine. That's fine. I never, ever, ever, ever object anybody coming to me and saying, Pastor, I don't agree with this. But just do it peaceably. You know, just do it in the right way and the right spirit of love. And so he calls upon us to be at peace with each other and with leaders. Now, why should we do this? Why should we carry out these three duties to the leaders that are described there in verse 12? Notice what he says in the last of verse 13. For their work's sake. For their work's sake. That if you fail to carry out verses 12 to 13, Paul is indicating here that their work will be hurt. It will be hindered. Their ministry will be hurt. Their work will be hurt. So for the work's sake, for the sake of the health and the well-being of the church, be careful to carry out verses 12 and 13 in your personal lives. Like it or not, the health and well-being of any congregation is always tied to the leadership. You can't avoid it. You know, and when it's not healthy, then not only is that leader going to be hurt, but the church will be hurt. Of course, that's why the personnel committee and a pastor search committee must do full diligence to make sure we're calling the right leaders. But once we call those leaders, then we're to do verses 12 and 13 in our relationship with those leaders. And let me show you one other verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for that leader. Is that what he says? No, he says it will be unprofitable for you. for you. And so, folks, it's very clear, isn't it? It's very clear what our responsibilities are to the leadership of the church. And may God help us to apply these principles in the coming days. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this admonition. And I do pray that this message will find its way to many, many people, not only here, but even around the world. And thank you for the opportunity that I have for my ministry through the internet to reach many, many people. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to, again, take the message to heart. And when it comes to leaders in the home, leaders in a class, leaders in the church, leaders in other areas of life, help us to always remember this scripture. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.